You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
Any other announcements? If not, we'll read in Isaiah chapter 56, starting in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the foreigner that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all peoples. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Two more weeks, and I get rid of the crutches. I get to keep this three more months. But it's a real challenge. You know, we all go through it one way or another. You go through some kind of a challenge, and it's always interesting. You wonder what the Lord's doing with it, and I'm here to tell you, I'll testify to this fact, you'll never know until you get on the other side, and hindsight's 20/20. And even then, you'll second-guess yourself. You don't know. I mean, his ways are as far above our ways, and you know the rest of it, don't you? I mean, if you're there in Isaiah 56, look at back up a couple of verses to chapter 55. He says in verse 8, for my thoughts, that's the Lord, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And you know, that's a real booger of it. Because I wish they were at times, and I wish I knew that he was thinking the same thing I'm thinking. He goes on, he says, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the best thing to do is go through these things humbly, without pretense about what you think the Lord is doing, and just get out the other side and get on with life. There's not a thing you can do about it. There's not. You can't make that which is crooked straight. You can't heal the leg. You can't heal whatever the situation is in life. You have to wait on Him and see what His purpose and plan is in it. And it's always perfect. Now don't forget that. It's always perfect. Whatever that problem or situation or circumstance or condition in life is, it's always God's perfect will for your life. And that's a wonder about grace. And we have what a beautiful relationship with Him because of that grace. Not to be unhappy, but as Paul writes, to rejoice in all things. Not easy to do when you're going through the cloud and the storm, and I don't think that's the time to do it, except maybe in your moments of despair. And you have nothing else to lean on except to trust and to rejoice that God is performing His perfect will. It's a good place to start. Let's pray. Father, do thank you for the Word and the effect it has on the heart and the mind as it brings us to submission to your will for our life. To recognize not just that your will is going to be sovereign, but that we need to be obedient to it. We need to be submissive to it. Not with mumbling, not with disputing, but to embrace it. Even as your son, and we have him as our example, embraced your will for his life, and he was obedient, even obedient unto the death of the cross. So encourage us in that. And Father, bless this lesson, that it might meet each heart need, that it might build us up in a faith that is holy and brings honor to your Son and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, kind of bring our thinking back together. We are studying all truth, going through Mr. Mill's book. We have in Colossians come to that point, and you'll turn with me there, to that point in chapter 1 of Colossians where he talks about this mystery and to whom it is addressed. And the amazing thing is that God here for the first time has brought to us Gentiles a distinctive message. And that's that grace message. It's not just a grace message. It is a dispensation of grace. Now think about that. Abraham didn't understand that. He never received it. He didn't live under it, even though the promises were given to him. But we today have a very particular and peculiar relationship with God that none of those that have been called out before have ever enjoyed. It goes against the human nature to accept some of the things that happen to us because God's doing it out of grace. But it is grace. That's all that there is. It is a dispensation and administration of grace. And he says here in chapter 1, in verse 27, it's to the saints God desires to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles. We got to that one point, among the Gentiles, it's that God wants to make known the glories of this mystery. We today have been given a deposit. We today have been given a particular relationship with Him that was never enjoyed before. We began looking at last week the differentiation of the Gentiles. Who are they besides us? And we looked at some of the distinctiveness of that pertain to the Israelites, because that's the only contrast we have. There are only two groups of people when it comes to prior to this dispensation, and that is Israel and the Gentiles. And we saw that before in the Old Covenant, we saw that there was only Israel. If there was salvation to be given to anyone apart from Israel, they had to become Israel. We looked at that, and let's go back and look at it again real quick in Exodus chapter 12. This is just kind of in a recap. For we looked last week at the fact that all the promises had been given to Abraham and to his seed. And we looked at various passages that reiterated that the promises were given to Abraham. In Exodus chapter 12, when God instituted the ordinance of the Passover, He made it very clear in verse 45 of Exodus chapter 12 that a foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat of the Passover, shall not participate. Now, this Passover is strictly defined as an Israeli celebration. Israel is the only one who celebrates this, because who was the only nation that was taken out of Egypt at the Passover? Yeah. It is recognition of Israel's birth as a people of God by virtue of a divine call and not by natural descent. And you see the difference is through Abraham, there were many sons. If it were by natural descent, the promises, then who would it fall upon? Well, it'd either fall upon all or none by natural descent. Our firstborn. The idea that separated Israel and the promises to the seeds came with circumcision, not on his firstborn, whom it should have, through Hagar, which was Ishmael, but through Isaac, because of what? Circumcision. And in that, if you go back to Genesis, and you go back to the 17th chapter, and you study the promise that God gave him then, you'll see in the circumcision that was identified that the promises fell through the seed that was circumcised in accordance to the divine rule that God gave. The eighth day. So it falls to Isaac, not to Ishmael, and it's a divine calling that was given to Israel, not by natural descent, but by God's fiat, God's design. He's the one who gave it to them. Israel, now set apart with the promises given to Abraham. And those promises, we looked at the fact that was reiterated last week in Galatians, and that these promises belong to them and not to the Gentile. The Gentile, if he had any hope, and come back to today's passage, under the Old Covenant, Isaiah 56 points out, his hope was through Israel, becoming an Israelite. We see that clearly in two identifications of a eunuch and a foreigner in chapter 56, verse 3. Neither let the son of the foreigner that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. And neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuch that keepeth my Sabbath and chooses the things that please me and what takes hold of what? My covenant. Covenant relationship established by circumcision. Not only the eunuch, he says in verse 6, also the sons of the foreigners that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and what? Takes hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. At this juncture in the life of the world and the nations, God had one program. Salvation is of the Jew. And that's the only way a foreigner or a stranger could participate in the blessings and the promises. Now, when we differentiate, we need to recognize that in salvation, the Jew had no special privilege. He was a sinner just as much as the Gentile was a sinner. All have sinned. In Psalms 14, Paul reiterates that in Romans, and have come short of the glory of God. He says that there are none that understand him. There are none that seek him. And I can't remember the other one. There's a third one that starts with the letter R. So let's go to Romans chapter 3 and look at it. Oh, there's none that doeth righteousness. That's it. None that doeth righteousness. That's in verse 10 of Romans chapter 3. There's none that doeth righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands, and there's none that seeketh after God. None. So in relation to salvation and being saved, God is not a respecter of person. Anyone who then does and follows will be saved by the Lord. But the salvation of the Lord is different than the blessings or the promise of the Lord. The promise only comes with the adherence to the covenant. So he who comes under the covenant then becomes a part of the holy mountain, as we read back in chapter 56, verse 7. Now, Romans is a different picture because here in Romans, we move from those things that pertain to Abraham and exclusively to Abraham and only to Abraham to things now that belong to Abraham and those that come in under faithful Abraham. That would include the Gentiles along with the Jew. But before we get to that point, we have to recognize, or we need to recognize in time, when this occurs. Romans is a book written during Acts. We looked last week that when our Lord was here, he only sent the disciples unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and not to go into the way of the Gentiles. And we see that there is no changing in those orders, even when we get to the close of the gospel. We see that there's no changing in those orders, even when we begin the period of the Acts, which is the last historical book written in the Bible. And let's look at that real quickly. Go back to Acts. And here we have the reoffering of the kingdom to Israel. even after they had rejected the kingdom and the king. In Acts chapter 2, we see that it is still an offer to Israel in verse 14. Day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11 and lifted up his voice and said unto them, these are all the people who are outside in the streets, listening to these people talk in various languages, and he says, ye men of Judea. He makes it very clear in verse 22. He says, ye men of Israel. So up to this point, we still have only one nation, not the nations, involved in the plan of God. Not entirely, because the inclusion of the Gentiles was always a part of God's plan. Even when he gave Abraham the promise, he said, through your seed will the nations be blessed. So it was through that program, as Mac used to say, all the blessings that came to Israel came through the conduit of Israel to the Gentiles if the Gentiles came on board as an Israeli or as a Jewish proselyte. We have a picture of that in Acts chapter 7. The Ethiopian, chapter 8, Philip taken up in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. He goes out into the, let's start reading verse 26. An angel of the Lord said unto Philip, arise, go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all the treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now see, he was a perfect type of that picture back in Isaiah 56. He was an eunuch who kept the Sabbath because he had been at Jerusalem on a holy day to worship. And he here is a picture of one who has come in through Israel as an Israeli, as a Jew. It is a Jew, and I ought to keep it as a Jew, because a Jew is a religious relationship. Not all Israel are of Israel, or something like that. Is that right? You remember that? Well, we'll look at it later. So we see here in the Acts period, we don't see a change until we get to Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, we see Peter called to one Cornelius. And we see him, the first Gentile. And we see how distinctive this is, because Peter, even after he gets to Cornelius' house in verse 28, he said unto those at Cornelius' house, you know that it is God's will that we take the gospel message to you. That's not what it says. He says, you know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. So for the first time, we see Peter now called out to bring and bear testimony to the Gentile, that he's not the apostle of the Gentiles, because God already did that back in chapter 9. If you look in chapter 9 in verse 15, when Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus and God got him, he said, the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Actually, this is to Ananias, who was supposed to go to Paul and take him under his wing. He says to Ananias, the Lord says unto Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So Paul is really the apostle. Peter's not. Peter is here as the head of the church to give his sanction to it in Acts chapter 15 and his blessing on it. Now, if you look at chapter 10, notice verse 35. Peter brings out that God is not a respecter of persons. He says, but in every nation, verse 35 of chapter 10, that They that fear him and work righteousness are accepted with him. The word now, which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know. Now notice, I want you to remember this, because when we close today, we're going to go look at a different sending. He says in verse 36, the word which God sent unto who? Unto children of Israel. Keep in mind that word sent. Very important. Because when we get to the conclusion of this today, we will see that that word has changed and it has now been sent to who? Unto the Gentiles at the close of the Acts period. And they will take delivery of it. In Acts chapter 11, Peter now rehearsing what happened to him. Verse 1. In Jerusalem, the apostle and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision welcomed him with open arms. Now, we've seen this many times before. It's not new. But it's not welcoming. It's contending. Because why? Up to this point, the word of God never had gone to the Gentiles. Up to this point, the whole kit and caboodle was Israel, Israel, Israel. Israel was to repent. Israel was to be baptized. Israel was to turn again unto the Lord. They were to receive Christ as their Messiah. They were to have the new covenant established. They were then to go out into the nations and to disciple the nations. But they had not yet done what they had to do in the initial beginning, and that is receive what God had to receive Christ as their Messiah and to repent. But here God begins bringing Gentiles in. And notice after Peter rehearses all that happened to him here in chapter 11, verse 17, for as much then as God gave them, Gentiles, the same gift as he also did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter says, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, thus hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. But notice, when the apostle of the Gentiles begins in Acts chapter 13, he doesn't go to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 13, verse 16, Paul here in Antioch begins his ministry. He's in the synagogue and he stands up in verse 16 of Acts 13. And he beckons with his hand and says what? Men of Israel. He doesn't lose sight of what God's purpose and plan is, because he knows what it is perfectly. Trained 3 years on the backside of an Arabian desert outside Damascus, he, with the Lord himself, he knows exactly what the plan is. Israel, in this first instance, rejects God's offering through the apostle of the Gentiles, and it stirs up envy and strife. Notice same chapter, verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Here begins God's different ministry in bringing in the Gentiles, but only after the words first spoken to the Jew, and to the Jew first. He says in Romans, the very first chapter, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto who? The Jew first, and then the Gentile. Paul never forsakes that calling. That's the calling God gave him. We go all the way through here, and we see even after he went, I should finish that verse. He says, first should be spoken unto you, but seeing you put it from you, still in verse 46 in the middle, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves as unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. It's not a permanent turning as it is today. It's partial. And it has as its meaning or its purpose to provoke Israel to jealousy. And so now we see Gentiles being brought into the promises without having to become a Jew. There, and that's what the whole fight is over in Acts chapter 15. Notice, come with me to Acts chapter 15, when Paul gets back to Jerusalem and he declares to them what great things he's been doing among the Gentiles. There are people who come up and contend with him because he doesn't teach them to be circumcised and to obey the law of Moses. Verse 5, chapter 15. You should be familiar with this. And Paul's there, he's speaking to the elders at Jerusalem. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise these Gentiles and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Same thing that we'll see towards the end of Acts. The nation as a whole, even though there are individuals who accept this, the nation as a whole has to accept it, has to agree to it. Their failure to accept what God has commanded of them is what causes them to lose the acceptable year of the Lord. See, this is still in that period. You remember when in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus stood up in the synagogue and he began to teach out of the book Isaiah, and he read that passage from Isaiah 61, but he only read it partially. He ends with a phrase, right in the middle of a verse, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Go to Luke. Let's read that. Luke chapter 4, verse 19 is where he says that, and he stops. He says, let's start at verse 17. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophets, prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Now, you remember what the rest of that verse says? It has to do with the day of vengeance. And he doesn't quote that. Now, he does quote it later on in his ministry when they reject him. Go to Luke chapter 24. It's in the Olivet Discourse. Oh, it's 22. In the Olivet Discourse, in verse 20, he says, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let them who are in Judea... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, 21. 21, 20. Luke 21, 20. And he begins in verse 20 saying, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them who are in the midst of it depart, and let not them that are in the countries enter into it, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. He did pick up that verse again, and he did tell them what was going to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. Jerusalem wasn't compassed about. We do know there was a time when Jerusalem was compassed about, and that offering of the acceptable year of the Lord came to a close, and the day of vengeance began. But during the Acts period, where we just were, and in Romans, It's still the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, the Gentile's relationship has changed. He no longer has to come into the blessing through Israel, but he is a partaker in these blessings. Go to Romans chapter 11. In the analogy of the grafted olive tree, we see in verse 13, Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy them who are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them, Israel, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be that but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. See, there is the picture of the Gentiles during this period. They're partakers. It doesn't change the root. The grafted in branches don't change the root. The promises to Abraham are not transferred. That's another way I want to say that. The promises don't get transferred just because they get grafted in. Their position is perilous in that, if you look at verse 23, they, the Jew, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God's able to graft them in again. And if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and grafted contrary to the nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? In other words, they could be broken off too, the Gentile. So they don't boast themselves of any particular relation. And people who use these passages shouldn't use these passages to assume the fact that the promises of Abraham have been grafted over to them, are now transferred to them. That's like taking... I'm not going to go there. That's not what God's doing here, because he tells us back in Romans 11:11 the whole purpose behind this. Look at verse 11 of that chapter. I say then, has Israel stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is unto the Gentiles to provoke them, the Jew, Israel, to jealousy. That's the whole purpose of that. And that's their relationship. Even in chapter 15 of Romans, Paul here, in talking about coming to Jerusalem with an offering, in verse 25, says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints who are in Jerusalem. It's pleased them verily that, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Now when Paul gets to, go to Acts 20, when Paul gets to Jerusalem, Acts 22, when he gets to Jerusalem, he gets an opportunity to talk to the nation. Now, up until this point, every time Paul has talked, he has not talked to Israel as a nation. He's talked to groups. And the same problem that he encountered when he talked to them as groups, he encounters here when he talks to them as a nation. Now, this is a different time than when he talked to them after he was he paid the vow for those who had taken the position of a Nazarite. And he had shaved his head, and they had shaved their heads, and remember that in Acts chapter 20. But here in Acts chapter 22, he's come back out of prison, and he's got an opportunity to talk to the nation in the courtyard. And he says in verse 1, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I now make unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in Hebrew, they kept more quiet and he began to talk about, and then he explained all that had happened to him. And he said in verse 19, "And I said to the Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue those that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, it was also, I was also standing by and consented unto his death, and kept the raiments of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far from here unto the Gentiles." Now the last word that God gave the nation Israel through the Apostle Paul was the word Gentiles. As a nation, he never has spoken to them again. The biggest stumbling block that they've always had, the stumbling block that Paul encountered every city and synagogue he went into, except Berea. But then the Thessalonians had sent people there to Berea to stir them up. And so the last thing that he has to say to them is, "Hear the Gentiles." Amazing. And it's still the stumbling block that they have. God's purpose and plan for them, they cannot accept, they reject, and God then rejects them. We get to the close of Acts, and notice in the close of Acts, the one thing, the one blessing that God has, salvation, has transferred over to the Gentiles. But not until this point, because it doesn't happen until they can't agree among themselves. And he has but one thing to say, and he quotes Isaiah. And in Acts 28:28, he says, "Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent." Now that's that. Remember it. Remember that gospel that had been given to the nation Israel? It's been now sent unto the Gentiles. And they will receive it. They'll take delivery of it. And for 2,000 years, they're the only ones who have propagated this gospel. God began a new thing at this point. God set Israel aside, the promises of Abraham, and he began anew something that had never before been known. And that's what he's talking about in Colossians. Come back to Colossians and finish up with that again. This mystery and the fellowship of this mystery. We had a guy one time, and I don't know who thought it up, but Matt carried it, TWA. You have the T is through the Jew, the W is with the Jew. That's what we just studied today, that partaketh, being a partaker. Now, next week we'll see that this partaking is mentioned again in Ephesians, but it's a totally different picture. It's a partaking that is not the same as the partaking that we see in the Acts period and in Romans. But the W is with the Jew as a partaker and not as a Jew. And then the A, the TWA, the A is apart from the Jew. And that's what God begins here. And that's why he begins to address the Gentiles. And for the first time, you go back to Ephesians, the first book that he writes. And this is one of those things he says in verse 27. This mystery among the Gentiles, which has never before been known, never revealed to ages or generations. We've covered all of that in verse 25. But is now revealed to his saints. This is the first time God addresses the Gentiles independent of the Jew, exclusively their own. And the amazing thing, now think about this, this is one of the things, in the first book he writes, Ephesians, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing," where? In heavenly places. All the promises that Abraham had, and we looked at this 2 weeks ago, or two lessons ago, the promises were earthly and heavenly, but not above the heavens. We have no place in those promises that are earthly and heavenly. That is New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. Our promises are in Christ, in the heavenlies far above. That's one of the marvelous things. You know, we begin to start wondering, what are the riches of the glory of this mystery? And the very first thing he tells us is that we don't have a hope here. We don't have a promise here. We're not tied into the kingdom. We're tied into the Son himself. in the heavenlies far above. Now, you know, that's worth the price of grace in your life and in my life. Let's pray. Father, do thank you for the administration of grace today. And what a glory there will be for us that time when we join your Son and our Savior in glory and will be made manifest with Him. Lord, do meet the need of each heart as that heart deals with the circumstances of life. Teach that heart, Lord, that these things are but fleeting, that there is an eternity to be spent, a manifestation that's going to be made, and we'll enjoy glory forever and ever. And we thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.